This week on the eBay for Business podcast.
If an international buyer is bothering to look for your U.S. item, they will probably be very passionate about it. Those people really want to buy your things.
After our launch event in Greensboro, this woman said, I have drunk the eBay Kool-Aid and I love it.
Over the past few months, the team has been busy adding more features to Therapeutic Research inside Seller Hub.
I'm Brian Burke.
I'm Alan Aisbett, and this is the eBay for Business podcast, your weekly source for the information and inspiration you need to start, run, and grow a business on the world's most powerful marketplace.
And this is episode 76.
And a big welcome to you, Brian, and thanks for filling in this week. Lots going on at eBay with Griff still out, though I hear he might be back next week, and Liz is up to her eyeballs with lots of projects.
My pleasure, Alan. So what's up for this week's edition of the eBay for Business podcast?
I'm glad you asked. So remember, we asked for New Year's resolutions back in December.
I do. In fact, I even did one.
Oh, thank you. We heard from quite a few sellers, most of whose resolutions we then included in recent episodes, but one stood out for us.
And who was that?
Well, it wasn't you, but our first guest this week is a seller by the name of Nanette Zupon. We were so impressed with the depth and detail of Nanette's 2020 New Year resolution that we asked her to come on the podcast and talk more about it.
And we'll also speak with eBay's Alexis Gallivan about a project that we've talked about in brief on the podcast. It's called Retail Revival, and it's an amazing initiative into which Alexis will take us on a deeper dive.
And finally, eBay's Pedro Nieto from the selling product team will join us to talk about some of the selling tools that eBay provides to all sellers and how they can help make selling more efficient.
And thus more successful.
Well, so we hope. So lots to talk about. Shall we begin?
Yes, let's get on with it.
Last month, we asked you to call or email in with your New Year's resolution for your business on eBay in 2020, and we want to thank everyone who sent theirs in. So a reminder, if we use your New Year resolution on the podcast, we will be contacting you soon for your shipping address and size, so we can send you your very own exclusive purple eBay for Business hoodie. So many of you expressed resolutions to improve your sales for 2020, but one seller in particular had a very specific plan to accomplish just that. We first spoke to Nanette Zupon at eBay Open 2019. When she was one of the many sellers who stopped by her booth to record for the podcast, and Nanette's resolution for 2020 was, in many ways, the most detailed that we saw. So we want to dig a little deeper into her plan for increasing sales in 2020. Nanette has graciously agreed to join us here on the podcast to share some of the details of her plan, with the hope that it may provide some insight and spark for other sellers who want to improve their sales on eBay. Welcome to the show, Nanette.
Oh, thank you, Alan. Thank you for inviting me.
Of course. And Nanette, what is your user ID on eBay in case our listeners want to check out your business?
My user ID is American Artifacts with no space in between.
Okay, great. So Nanette, we were really impressed by your resolution that you sent in to us, so we want to dive a bit deeper. In your resolution, you started out by saying, my eBay resolution is to use my 2019 data to increase my 2020 sales and profits. Now that sounds simple enough, but really, how does that work? What has this data shown you so far?
Well, to back up a tiny bit, in 2019, I decided that it was really important to me to source my eBay products locally. So I stopped shipping items from around the country just to reduce my carbon footprint. And I started to look for sort of a broad range of products within my local area. And as a result, I sold a lot of products in a lot of categories with some differing results. So that's my starting point. And from there, at the end of 2019, I downloaded all of my eBay sales, about 4,000 items, maybe a little less, into a spreadsheet just so I could manipulate the data. I could filter it. I could search it. I could see, okay, I sold all this stuff. I found it all locally. Great. What did well? What didn't do well? What should I sell again? What should I not sell again?
Nice. Okay, lots of sales in 2019. Congratulations on that. So given what your 2019 data has shown you about where the bulk of your profits came from, that is higher priced items, will this change the way you source for product in 2020? Will you switch focus? And if so, what will you go and what will your switch of kind of merchandise type be?
Well, I think I really want to keep touching back on that list and also do this exercise about every quarter, just download my sales and sort them and see what's doing well and use that information to refine and tweak what I'm doing already. So, for instance, I source a lot at both estate sales and thrift stores. And sometimes at estate sales, there's a time pressure because there might be 20 or 30 or 50 people in the house and all the good items get kind of scooped up quickly. So I looked at my spreadsheet for the top items in 2019. And at first I thought actually that it had few clothing items, but there were clothing items. They were just fairly particular: coats, jackets, boots. Bigger items, bigger priced items. And just coincidentally, if you go into a home, they're often in a coat closet, not in a bedroom closet. So just this year, I went to a very crowded sale and I thought, okay, my normal plan would be to go into the bedroom and look through the women's dresses and the women's sweaters. But instead, I went to the coat closet and I got a great vintage leather coat that I probably would have missed if I didn't decide to just sort of tweak based on my actual results.
Nice. Thank you. That's a great example. And you also mentioned that Terapeak figures into your 2020 plans. Could you go into a little more detail about how you plan on using Terapeak?
I think one interesting thing is when I did this sort of just sort of my sales, you see what's at the top and you see all these other sales that maybe they aren't your top sellers, but they're contributing money. But if something is selling for a relatively low selling price, $10 or $15, you really can't afford to spend a lot of time searching the current eBay sales and the eBay solds and maybe searching on Google and searching other marketplaces to get a fair price. But I found that if I go to Terapeak and I set the filter for 365 days, so I get the full year look back rather than the 7-day default. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I will refine a bit. If my item is used, I'll put that condition in. But I just do a sort of quick down and dirty search on the item. It takes literally seconds and I come up with an average price. There's an average ship price. You can add those together. You can decide if you want to have one price with free shipping or a price and some paid shipping. But I think if you're close to the average, it's going to sell and it's a great time saver.
And when you're out at estate sales or when you're out on the road and you're sourcing items, how do you check like items on eBay to see, is this the right thing? Like, I'd imagine you don't want to purchase it, take it home and then realize that it might be a hot item to sell. Is there any tips that you'd have for when you're out on the road?
Just check. If you're not sure, it might be uncomfortable. Some people are very uncomfortable using their eBay app in a public place like a thrift store or an estate sale, but I will often just sort of discreetly check some listings, check active items, check sold, especially if it's something that is longer tail or maybe a bigger purchase price or maybe just a bulk purchase. Certainly if I was going to buy hundreds of pieces or spend hundreds of dollars, I would take a few seconds and I'd check both listings and sold items.
Okay, nice. And in your 2020 resolution, you also stated that you plan on using 2019 sales data to streamline listing and pricing. So could you tell me a little bit more what you mean by that?
One item, for example, I sell what I would consider tabletop items, china, crystal, flatware, and you have various ways you could sell that. Some sellers like to list, if they had 8 wine glasses, they would list quantity 1 times 8 and let the buyer choose, which does make a lot of sense because people like choices and not everyone might need 8. But for me, just looking at all of my data, since my time is limited and I can only get so much done per day, I think it makes sense for me to list in sets whenever possible. I am limiting the buyer's choice a bit, but I'm maximizing the return I can get and I'm minimizing just the amount of time I spend on listing and then at the back end on fulfilling the orders. So that's something I'm becoming more conscious of. Just if I have the same product and I can list it differently, mm-hmm. what will be the best model for me?
Nice. And I suppose you do some testing and learning, you know, try it out, see if it works. Awesome. If it does, you can keep doing it. If it doesn't work, then you can go back to doing the kind of one listing with multiple quantity. No harm in trying it out kind of short term to see how it goes. I think that's the advice that we always try and give on the show is test things out, try new things. Try things repeatedly. What you tried or tested out a couple of years ago, just because it didn't work then, you know, it could easily work today in 2020. So keep trying new things, test stuff out and see how it goes. You know, this seems like a great example of doing things a little bit different to the norm and seeing if buyers like it and if they want to go for it, then fantastic. You've kind of got an advantage there by trying something different to what other sellers might be, you know, they might be comfortable listing as lots. It's not something I hear sellers doing quite often.
No, it doesn't seem very intuitive, but any of my top items were actually lotted. I was very surprised by that.
That's good. Well, I definitely encourage our listeners to try it out and report back and let us know how it's going for them. So one of the more vexing issues we hear from many eBay sellers is how to recoup most, if not all, of their shipping costs when they use free shipping on their listings. So obviously no seller wants to simply eat the entire cost of shipping. They do want to pass that on to their buyers in a way that is seamless but doesn't make their item price non-competitive. How do you manage these costs?
I've been using free shipping for years, and I am experimenting sort of the other way with adding in some shipping costs for some heavy, bulky, for example, lotted China items that might weigh 30 pounds, and if they go to Alaska or Hawaii, it could cause an issue. So sort of cautiously trying to recoup some cost with some calculated shipping on heavy items while making many items available with free shipping. And Terapeak is an example. If you find a t-shirt and the average sold price is $15 and the average ship price is $4, that's $19. So I would just use $19 as my price with free shipping, which is fairly obvious, but that's an easy way to recoup the cost. If I charge shipping, I often charge less than the actual cost of shipping because the actual cost of shipping can be shocking and horrifying to buyers. And then I might maybe add a bit into my item price and just make it more palatable. I just want the whole bundle to be attractive. You want a buyer to look at it and say, I can live with this shipping cost if there is a shipping cost. Mm-hmm. I like the item price. The whole thing makes sense. There's no red flag deterrent that's going to prevent me from buying it. I like the whole package and I'll buy.
And do you ship internationally?
I do.
And how do you manage that? Obviously, getting things around the US is easier than going internationally. Do you use things like the Global Shipping Program or do you ship it out yourself directly to the customer?
I'm a managed payment seller. So as of today's date, the Global Shipping Program has not yet been integrated with managed payments, but I'm very hopeful that will happen soon. Mm-hmm. So I'm shipping directly and I use calculated shipping, especially for a newer seller. I would not recommend using flat rates internationally because there are some pretty significant variations. It's really a very streamlined process now. I create everything online. eBay labels are very handy for this. And really, I will say there are no issues. The only possible issue is a little buyer concern about custom fees imposed by their country. So there might be a little dialogue and a little sort of what I think of as buyer education about there may be fees and expect them. But apart from that, it's not very different from a domestic sale.
Yeah, it's pretty straightforward. And I think on the theme of testing things out, you know, I'd say to sellers, if they're afraid of going internationally, you could even try out Global Shipping Program. Obviously, if you're not in managed payments, it's not available right now. It will be soon. But yeah, if you're in Global Shipping Program, you simply ship the item to Kentucky and then eBay fulfills the rest of the transaction delivery to the buyer. So makes it easy for sellers if you want to expand your buyer base outside of the US.
I just do want to encourage sellers, particularly on the international sales, to try it. I use the Global Shipping Program and it really eliminated all risk for me. And just another point is if an international buyer is bothering to look for your US item, they will probably be very passionate about it. Those people really want to buy your things. And it's just great to have this platform to be able to find those buyers.
Agreed. I know I've mentioned it on the show before, but coming from Europe, oftentimes there's quite limited inventory available in Europe. There are simply things in the US that you cannot get in Europe. So I would frequently go to eBay.com and buy things on eBay.com from US sellers because I know if I went to eBay Ireland, the inventory simply wouldn't be there. So I always try and encourage US sellers to think if you want to grow your business or if your sales are kind of flat or if you want to grow your business, I would definitely encourage sellers to try international shipping. You're right, there might be some education, there might be some language barriers, but there are tools like Google Translate that can help you kind of get over the hump and really is a fantastic way of increasing the buyer base and growing your business on eBay. It's one of the best things about eBay. It is a global marketplace and definitely make the most of that to improve your business and also to combat things like seasonality. Right now, you know, when we're in wintertime here in the US, it's summertime in Australia. So great example of things you might have sitting on your shelf at home. Somewhere that you're not selling to US buyers that you can get out to other people in the parts of the world. Definitely try it out, see how it goes. It should help your 2020 sales. So finally, Nanette, great tips, great advice. Love hearing all of your plans. Sounds like you've really thought them through. So how will you hold yourself accountable? How will you define your plans as a success as 2020 proceeds? Are there particular metrics that you will focus on?
The basic metric that I'll focus on is just a month-by-month comparison from 2019 to 2020 to see, am I improving? Am I flat? Is there any growth? So that's sort of the first level analysis. I think the second level analysis, every quarter, I'll download my sales into a spreadsheet and sort and filter and see, okay, what's really going on here? Drill down a bit and see why are my numbers up or why are they not up? What could I do better? What's working? And there are the timing issues too. Maybe something did great in 2019 because it was trending then, and maybe the trend is over now. So some of this you can't exactly plan for. You just have to really monitor. And if something is doing better or worse than you anticipate, just pivot a bit and try something new.
Awesome. And are you in any like seller groups or community forums or meetups? Do you do anything like that? I know some groups of sellers form their own little communities and they hold each other accountable. Do you do anything like that?
Well, I am in a local meetup group. It's the Long Beach, California meetup group led by Patty Coleman, little plug, who's fantastic. We have great meetings and great activities. I also do a number of online groups, mostly through Facebook. And I don't have an accountability group per se, but I have some sharing groups and some just sort of advice groups where sellers knock around ideas and issues, and they're very helpful.
Yeah, I know being an eBay seller can be lonely at times. I know we hear that a lot from sellers, but definitely having a group of your peers to hold yourself accountable, to kind of bounce ideas off, to share wins, losses with will be really helpful for you. And we encourage, you know, in the outro of the episode, we talk about eBay seller meetups. So you can check those out by going to ebay.com/meetups and seeing if there's a local seller meetup in your area. On campus here in San Jose, there's one every month. We get about 60 or 70 sellers, and they'll come in and they'll present and they'll talk about their business and things that they're doing to help grow. So it's just great peer-to-peer knowledge sharing. So Nanette, I just want to thank you for stopping by the show and sharing your wisdom and knowledge. Hopefully that will help a lot of eBay sellers as they make their 2020 plans to grow.
Well, thank you so much for having me on the show. It was a delight.
Thank you. Nanette Zupon sells on eBay under the ID American Artifacts. Remember, it's not yet too late for you to formulate and put into action a business plan to help improve your eBay sales for 2020. We hope that Nanette's plan has given you some food for thought in getting started.
You've probably heard the phrase, "The business of America is a business," a line attributed to our 30th President of the United States. Actually, it's a misquote. What President Coolidge actually said was, "The chief business of the American people is business. They are profoundly concerned with producing, buying, selling, investing, and prospering in the world." He spoke the truth then and for the future, because today there are 30.2 million small businesses in this country, which comprise a whopping 99.9% of all United States businesses. Most of those businesses are thriving, especially those located in smaller towns and cities, face challenges from business realities like competition from big box stores and a decline in Main Street shoppers, as many historic retail downtowns see a rise in boarded up shops from businesses that couldn't compete. Today we have with us in our studio Alexis Gallivan, the program lead of Retail Revival, to talk about Retail Revival, an eBay program to help connect these small, often struggling brick and mortar sellers and their unique products with buyers on eBay. Welcome, Alexis.
Thank you so much. So excited to be here.
Thanks for being here. Alexis, could you go into a bit of detail about what Retail Revival is and how it works?
Yeah, I'd love to. So essentially, Retail Revival is eBay's signature small business support program. A few years ago, we were looking around and seeing all of the headlines that were flashing across newspapers talking about this retail apocalypse and how retail communities were being destroyed by e-commerce. And we didn't like what we were reading and seeing, partially because we live in those communities and we want our main streets to thrive, of course. But also as a business, that's just not how we operate. We don't play this kind of zero-sum game where we win and the small businesses have to lose. Yeah. We connect our buyers to sellers. We don't compete with them. We decided we wanted to respond, and we did that in the form of Retail Revival. How that works is we partner with city governments around the world. And through those partnerships, we outreach to local businesses in those communities. And through a process, they apply to the program, they get accepted. And then once they're in, we support them through a variety of means. We give them really intensive training. They get one-on-one coaching with some of our eBay seller experts. They get all sorts of kind of promotional support, all sorts of kind of bells and whistles that are really going to help them start and grow their businesses on eBay.
Wow.
And in turn, stay wide open, keep their doors wide open in their local communities, keep hiring locally, keep contributing to their local economies, and really kind of helping our retail neighborhoods thrive.
Wow, fantastic. And though I started talking about America, Retail Revival is not limited to just the U.S., right? So I've heard of some other places outside the U.S. Could you tell us a bit more about where we're doing Retail Revival?
Yeah, since just 2018, we've expanded to 13 cities and 8 countries worldwide.
Wow.
Everywhere from the United States and Canada all the way over to Israel and Russia and lots of places in between.
And what criteria does the Retail Revival team when they consider cities or towns to visit?
We look at a few different factors. Number one, kind of what's going on locally. Is there a small business community there that we could work with? Is there enough kind of small business density there? We also look to see what does our current seller community look like? Is there something that we can kind of build off of? Because, you know, eBay is really all about building this community of our sellers and buyers. And so it's great if we can connect kind of the newer sellers with the more seasoned sellers. We also look at kind of the local government and try to get an understanding of what role small businesses play in their kind of long-term vision for growth for their cities. And then finally, we look at kind of what's the story? What's the narrative backdrop? Of course, you know, people love a good story. And so we want to understand where has the city come from? Where is it going? What makes it special? What makes it tick? And how can we kind of be part of that magic and help really kind of share it with the rest of the world?
So then on the day when you're in the city, where does the actual Retail Revival event take place? What is a typical type of venue?
Retail Revival is an ongoing program, but it does start with a single day. The program actually kicks off with a full and very kind of fun, comprehensive day of training, of networking, of all sorts of kind of learning activities. We bring in anywhere from 25 to 35-ish team members from across the country to take part in this day. The sellers get in-depth training on kind of the eBay 101 topics, like, you know, how to make a great listing, how to handle shipping, how to kind of balance the digital retail with their physical locations, all that kind of stuff that they need to really feel confident in getting their business up and running on our platform. That's really when the community building begins. A lot of times these folks may already know each other kind of casually. They're, you know, they're all kind of small business owners in the same community. But this may be the first time they're actually all put together in the same room and get to really kind of commiserate and, you know, inspire each other and kind of help with each other with best practices and kind of pitch in and because they're all facing a lot of the same kind of challenges.
Right.
So once you actually get them together, there's some great kind of synergies that happens and the kind of this community really kind of pulls together.
Yeah, I can imagine because we know because we host seller meetups here on campus and we travel around the country, meet sellers at eBay seller meetups. And that's so powerful for them to share their wins, their losses, their challenges, the things they've done, their successes with each other. So I can imagine you probably have in a small city, you have a lot of business owners in a very close proximity to each other, but they might actually never get together and talk about it. So you can imagine when you put them all together in a room for a day, how powerful that is. And do you find that a lot of these sellers, so they've got a brick and mortar store, have they considered selling online before, or is this like a new thing to them when eBay shows up?
Typically, we get a real mix. We have some people who haven't even touched e-commerce before. They are brand new. We love that because that's really kind of an exciting challenge for us. Mm. And then you have some folks who have dabbled in it. Maybe they have their own website, but they haven't actually gone on to Amazon or Etsy or eBay. And so they're looking to kind of scale their reach a little bit by joining one of these bigger platforms. And then we do have sellers who are pretty advanced. You know, maybe they could be existing sellers on eBay or maybe they sell on other platforms. So they're pretty savvy in that way. But they're looking to either join eBay and kind of really take advantage of all the unique stuff that we have to offer or really kind of fine tune their learning. Because, as you know, eBay is changing every day. We're always introducing kind of new products, new opportunities, you know, new ways to really accelerate your business. And so sometimes it's easy to kind of fall into the same old patterns or habits, you know, with anything. And eBay is no exception. So we find that even the current sellers who joined the program, we're seeing some great results with them because they're getting forced to kind of rethink their strategy on the platform a little bit and getting introduced to all these kind of new tools and learning to kind of approach their business in a new way. It's been pretty effective kind of across the spectrum of all those different kinds of sellers.
Yeah, great learnings for the sellers, I'd imagine. And also for eBay, I'm sure we get a lot out of it. We get to hear from sellers, their challenges, what they like about eBay, what they don't like about eBay. So very powerful for us here back in San Jose to get that feedback, to make changes to eBay to make it better. So I imagine it sounds like a win-win on both sides. You mentioned there's a follow-up program, there's some coaching. For how long do sellers get this kind of service from eBay?
Once we have that kickoff day, then the kind of the real work begins. The sellers in the program begin their kind of initial training phase, and that can last anywhere between 6 and 8 weeks, depending on a few different factors. And that's when they get that individual coaching. Each of the sellers in the program gets assigned an actual human being.
Wow.
Yes. These human beings are like the eBay selling gurus. Mm-hmm. These are kind of I like to call them our special forces.
Right.
In a military term, these folks know the platform inside and out. They know how to build a business on eBay. A lot of them build their own businesses. Aside from being eBay employees, they're also very, very successful eBay sellers themselves. So they know this stuff inside and out. And each of the sellers has a weekly call with that coach. So their feet are really held to the fire.
Yeah.
They get introduced to new topics every week, and they're actually kind of given assignments, figuring out, okay, we're going to try this promotional tactic. Like, try it this week. Next week, we'll reconvene, see how it worked. What do we need to tweak? What do we need to do moving forward?
Nice.
And so in a way, the coaches create almost like individual business plans for each of the sellers, because they're very different. We could have a very small, like, artisan seller who sells a few kind of crafty items to, like, auto parts and accessory seller who's got, like, 1,000 SKUs. And so we kind of meet each of the sellers where they are, figure out what are your goals and what kind of plan do we need to put together with you to make sure that we do all we can to help you get there.
What's been the feedback from the businesses that have gone through the program?
It's been extremely and almost universally positive. I think this program is quite unique in that, with that human element. Mm-hmm. There are lots and lots of videos out there and webinars and different kind of programs where big companies kind of breeze in and out in one day. And you can, if you miss that sign up, then well, you're out of luck. But this is much different. We go much, much deeper with these sellers, and we really kind of bring all of our resources to the table to really give everything we can to help them succeed.
Nice.
And I think they feel that. And there's something about eBay and the team members here. Like, we are so proud to work here. We so believe in the mission. And when the sellers get a chance to experience that, I think they kind of fall in love with the company. And one of my favorite quotes of all time after our launch event in Greensboro was, a woman said, "I have drunk the eBay Kool-Aid and I love it." She just felt the energy. She felt the passion. She felt the authenticity that was just kind of like emanating from all the team members in the room that day. You know, hopefully they turn not just into successful sellers, but also buyers, you know, because that's what it takes to be a real part of the eBay community.
That's right.
Know?
That's right.
Sell and buy.
Yeah, it's funny. I've seen some of the staff who've attended retail revival events and they come back and they work with sellers. They'll then start like evangelizing for sellers. So they'll be going out and saying, "Hey, I worked with this seller in Akron, or I worked with this seller in Greensboro. They're selling these products, you know, around Christmas time. Like, consider buying some of the items." So actually eBay staff are buying from Retail Revival sellers. And so a really great kind of experience for everyone. Alexis, can you give us some high level insights into the success rates on eBay for the businesses who've gone through Retail Revival?
Yeah, I would love to. We have about 400 active sellers in the program on the platform. And what we're particularly excited about is the kind of the global reach that this program has enabled for them. On a small main street in, say, Lansing, Michigan, there's only so many customers you can reach.
Right.
But when you come onto a platform like eBay, the benefit, obviously, or one of the benefits, is that you get access to 180 million people from around the world. And so one of the statistics that we look a lot is at how far their reach is exactly. And so far, the sellers in the program have reached buyers in 167 countries.
Wow.
And I love hearing stories from the sellers like, "Oh my gosh, someone from Bulgaria just bought something, my t-shirt."
Yeah.
And it's really fun kind of creating these like human connections through commerce and helping kind of export these cool local products from our Reach Revival cities to buyers around the world. And I love also hearing stories just kind of about the human impact of the program. What's cool about eBay is that it really can kind of expand or contract based on, you know, what your goals are and what your kind of lifestyle is and how much time you have and all that kind of stuff. And so people have different objectives when they come onto the platform and into the program. So, for example, there was one, a fashion seller in Akron, Ohio, and she had said that her family hadn't been able to take a vacation in a long time because she had just started this business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's expensive and it's exhausting and it's kind of a full-time, full-body kind of effort. And so her goal was basically to make enough money on eBay in the first year to take her family on an awesome vacation.
Nice.
And she did that.
She did that.
She took it, not just an awesome vacation, but a vacation to Europe. So they went from Ohio all the way to Europe.
That must have went
So she was very, very pleased. We had a few sellers who basically were just operating out of their basements or out of, you know, some kind of spare bedroom in their house and dreamed of having a brick and mortar one day. And so a few of them were able to make enough money on eBay to feel comfortable enough and financially kind of stable enough to actually take on a retail space. So that was really exciting.
Nice.
So we hear lots of kind of anecdotal stories about that. And that's what I want, you know, because growth for growth's sake doesn't mean anything. It's about what kind of impact does this have on people's lives and families and kind of the possibilities that they create for themselves. So that's what excites me.
Oh, nice. I like that. I like that perspective on things. Where and when is the next Retail Revival?
Retail Revival continues. It's been going strong for 2 years, and we have big plans to grow it. So more to come on that. But coming up pretty soon now, we've got 2 Retail Revival launches scheduled for early February.
Right.
We've got Austin, Texas,
nice.
Which is now my hometown. I'm super excited about that. And in Austin, actually, we're working primarily with artisans. As you may know, Austin has a really kind of rich kind of artistic community, and we wanted to kind of tap into that and to kind of help keep Austin weird, as they say, and creative and unique and all that kind of cool stuff by helping these artisans kind of transform their craft into kind of viable, successful businesses. So that's super exciting. And we're also launching in Greece, in Athens, Greece. Yes. Also in early February.
Are you going to go to Greece?
Unfortunately, not. I don't get to go out to that one. I've got a colleague who's running that for us. But I'll be excited to see the pictures.
Yeah. Likewise. That's amazing. Yeah. I think that's a great point you hit on earlier about when you're starting out in a small town and you've got your brick and mortar store, like opening the possibilities to global reach. Especially, like, I know being from Europe, I keep mentioning this on the show, but when you're shopping on eBay.com, you just find items here that you can't get anywhere else. Absolutely. You can imagine, like, from an artisan in Austin, Texas, some of the cool, unique inventory that's going to surface on eBay. So, of course, people around the world are gonna want to buy that. And it's great opportunity for sellers to come on and really grow their businesses through eBay.
So win for everybody.
Yeah, exactly. Alexis, I want to thank you for stopping by the studio today to take us through the eBay Retail Revival Program, and I wish you every continued success for future events.
Thank you so much. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you. Alexis Gallivan runs the eBay Retail Revival Program, and you can learn more about Retail Revival and shop from sellers in the program at ebay.com/retailrevival. We will also post the link in the podcast transcript. Today, we're welcoming Pedro Nieto to the show. Pedro is the Senior Manager of Seller Experience at eBay. Pedro, welcome to the eBay for Business podcast. This is your first time, I believe.
Hi, Alan. Yes, my first time on the show.
So, Pedro, tell us a bit about yourself, your role at eBay and what you do. And I understand you've just made a big move from Europe.
Yeah, recently moved from London, where I have been part of the seller experience team for close to 2 years. And over there, I was looking at coordinating the launch of some of our seller tools, first to our European sellers and recently moving to the US to be close to our US sellers. Have been involved in projects like price guidance, Therapeak, item specifics, or promotional tools, amongst others.
Well, that's great. Great to have you on board here in the US, Pedro. So thinking about 2019 performance and 2020 success for sellers, could you tell us a bit about some tools that we have that will help sellers review their performance in 2019 and then set themselves up for success in 2020?
Absolutely. We've got quite a selection of tools built by eBay just for our sellers, and they can be used to review our past performance for 2019 and also coming news on a daily basis. And at any time of the year that sellers want to review their performance, see any trends, picks, dips in sales, etc. And they can all be found in Seller Hub.
Okay, awesome. Let's quickly start with a recap on Seller Hub for those sellers not using it already. Seller Hub is your one-stop shop for managing and growing your business on eBay. We've brought together all the tools and data that you need, and it's completely free to use. You can get to Seller Hub at ebay.com/sh.
Yes. So you can use Seller Hub to access your business performance data, all your selling activity, insights and recommendations to grow your business, and all the powerful marketing tools and Therapeak research as well. Mm-hmm. It is very easy to navigate and organized by tabs, and you can choose which modules you'd like to see in each tab and in which order by customizing at the top of the page.
Okay, great. So I want to be a bit more specific about areas not to miss in Seller Hub. I've heard from sellers that they feel they lack the insight into the health of their business and they need an easy way to determine what is working and what isn't working. And they also want a clearer way to track the cost of doing business on eBay. So I'm going to just deep dive on each tab for a moment. So bear with me. First up is the overview tab. If you click on this, you can customize it and see the modules you may have missed. Selling announcements, promotional offers, tasks, and selling limits, for example. Then on the performance tab, sales summary shows you the trajectory of your sales month over month and year over year. You have to limit it to 90 days at a time quarterly. And selling costs track how much you're spending on shipping and fees. And then over on the orders tab, you can select all your orders and download your report. You'll also see 90 days of data at a time. Columns you might look at will be buyer country, ship to date, sold via promoted listings, tax collected, ship by date versus shipped on date, shipping services, and opportunities to be smarter about the shipping cost. So Pedro, let's chat through Therapeak. Can you give us a quick recap on what it is and any new updates?
Yes. Therapeak is a marketing sites tool that provides data on all past sales in eBay during the past year. This covers all regions, all sites, and all sellers. So you can really have a comprehensive view of everything that is going on in terms of sales at eBay. And you can use it to identify new stock opportunities, to expand your geographic coverage and decide start exporting to a different market, to give a boost to those listings that are not converting, or just to make sure that your retail standards are aligned with competition. You can filter by item condition, sales format, geography of your buyers or of your competitors, and so on. And this is an absolutely great tool that we've been adding more and more features inside Therapeak Research in Seller Hub. And just a note on that, so Therapeak Research is now available in the Research tab inside Seller Hub, and it has additional category filters and graphics to make easier for our sellers to play with the data and define all the actions that that can come from there. We have also added some additional features that will be launching soon. Over the past few months, the team has been busy adding more features to Therapeak Research inside Seller Hub. Therapeak Research is now available in the Research tab in Seller Hub, and it has additional category filters, more graphics to make it easier for our sellers to play with the data and define actions based on those. We have also some additional features that will be launching soon to improve the experience.
Nice. So if we're thinking about reviewing 2019, how would you recommend sellers to use Therapeak? What kind of data can they get and how should they read the data?
I would recommend our sellers to use Therapeak together with information from the Performance tab. So the Performance tab has all the information on how listings performed over a certain period of time, and you can see which listings sold the most and the list, conversion rates, what was the influence of promoted listings, etc. So you can use this to identify which listings are underperforming, and then use Therapeak Research to compare them with the competition and do actions based on that. For example, if you have listings with a low number of impressions, it might be that your title or item specifics might be hindering your performance. If you have a small number of page views, it might be that you just have poor pictures or non-competitive prices. Low conversion rates might mean few photos or a non-adequate item description. And all of these are things that you can use Therapeak to collect insights on how to solve them. So if you search on Therapeak Research for that item and you do it as you think that the buyer will do, then you can compare average prices, listing details of those top performing listings, and basically get inspiration to revise your own.
Okay, and Therapeak is free, right?
Yes, it is free for all the sellers that have a basic store or above.
Okay, and what if a seller does not have a basic store or above?
So in that case, sellers can subscribe to the service on a monthly or annual basis, and you can manage your subscriptions under My Account.
Nice, okay. Are there any other tabs in Seller Hub you'd recommend sellers use now to review their 2019 performance, or perhaps keep an eye on regularly to track how their business is doing?
Definitely. I would recommend the marketing tab. That's the place where you can add promotions to your listings and check their performance. You can set up the promoted listing campaigns and keep track of how they are doing. You can adjust and play with those and to make sure that you get the best results. Similarly, in the same place, you can also set up other promotions like volume pricing or order discounts that have been proven to generate really good results and track their performance with our buyers.
Nice. So we've talked a lot about eBay tools, but what about third-party tools? Do we ever recommend any additional tools that we don't have on Seller Hub that could help sellers review their business performance?
In that case, I'll refer again to the marketing tab. So over there, our sellers can find companies with whom eBay has some agreements to provide better prices and services.
Okay.
Sellers can find it under subscriber discount in the marketing tab. And one of those companies is QuickBooks. QuickBooks can be used to support sellers in their accounting needs, but also to analyze their past performance in 2019.
Nice. Thanks for that, Pedro. Any last advice you'd offer our listeners?
Yes, we are constantly working on improving our tools, including the ability to see and analyze more data, improve the user experience, all of this. It will just be great to get your feedback. Mm-hmm. You can find on the top right corner of all Seller Hub pages a section to provide us with your opinion and just let us know what you think.
Let us know what's working and what's not, and we'll do our best to address it. And then finally, please stay tuned towards future seller announcements. We'll be communicating any changes that can impact your business, and it's very important that you are prepared for those and also that you take full advantage of any tool improvements we make.
Very true. Yeah, and sellers, you can subscribe to our seller news announcements at ebay.com/announcements. Make sure you go there, you click options, hit subscribe. So that way, anytime eBay posts a new announcement, you will receive an email alerting you so you can go and read it straight away and get the news as soon as it comes out. So Pedro, I would like to thank you for joining us today. It's been a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you, Alan.
We've been chatting about eBay tools to review your business with Pedro Nieto, Senior Manager of Seller Experience at eBay.
I'm back, Alan, to help close out another episode.
Thanks, Brian. And before we do, I do want to remind everyone that we now have an official podcast survey, and we want your input. After all, you are the consumer of our content, and we want to make sure that you're enjoying it. Maybe there are some aspects of the show you like more than others, or maybe there are topics you would like us to cover. So let us know what you think. The URL is connect.ebay.com/SRV/survey/a/sellerops.podcast. But don't worry, we will include that link in the episode transcript.
And if you want to join the fun here on eBay for Business, call us at 888-723-4630.
That's 888-723-4630. And the best part, you can call the hotline any day of the week. Leave a question or comment and we might just put it on the air.
If you're not a call on the phone person, you can always email us at podcast@ebay.com. That's podcast@ebay.com.
And this is usually the spot where Griff does some silly nonsense about meetups or eBay community events.
I don't want to compete with Griff on the silly nonsense playing field. He's a master of silly nonsense.
Agreed. So let's just get to the core of it.
Deal. Sorry, Griff. If you want to socialize with other eBay sellers in your area, you should consider attending an eBay community event or seller meetup. To find a local eBay event in your city, town, or metro area, visit www.ebay.com/meetups.
And if there isn't an eBay community event scheduled in your metro area, well, you might consider moving, or less hassle might be just start your own local eBay community event.
And don't forget to tune into our weekly live video stream on the eBay for Business Facebook page every Wednesday at 12:30 p.m. Pacific time. Go to facebook.com/eBay for Business.
And right after the live stream, you can hop on over to the eBay community for our weekly chat with eBay staff. That starts every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific. Go to ebay.com/communitychat and we will see you there. That's it for this episode. Let's roll the credits.
Special correspondent, Jen Deal.
Our senior marketing strategist, Liz Austin.
Editor-in-chief and owner of two shiny new knees, Griff.
Yay. This week's co-host, Brian Burke.
And doing an outstanding job filling in for Griff, as host, Alan.
Why, thank you. The eBay for Business podcast is produced and distributed by Libsyn and Podcast 411.